Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to talk today about some of the readings we're getting this week at Mass. The first readings in particular, there's two sets of things. There's teaching from 1 Thessalonians, which is excellent, from St. Paul, and then the woes that Jesus, the seven woes that he speaks to the religious leaders. Obviously, everything Jesus says is worth meditating on. There's beautiful descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation, among other places in the New Testament, obviously, and even in the Psalms and other places that are anticipating who Jesus is, as with the prophets. But you see in the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, there's like 30, 35 different titles of Jesus that are given there. And Revelation wants us to understand just the spectacular magnificence and glory and majesty of who Jesus is. And that's very important to internalize that for a bunch of different reasons. But one of the things that you can summarize, you say he's often spoken about as a bridegroom, he's spoken about as a king, and he's spoken about as the judge. You know, like we say in the Creed, he will come in again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He's coming to set everything right. And what's going to be revealed, friends, is that truly he's the standard of what is true. He's the measurement. He's the yardstick. And he's the one which no human heart, nothing escapes his gaze. That's another element you see in Revelation chapter 1 in particular. His eyes are flaming fire. And Paul will say it at another point that, you know, the day's coming when the word of God, which begins now, this living word in us begins to examine. It cuts into us like a surgical reality, cutting deep into the human heart and manifests the intentions of the human heart. That's why the word of God is, there's nothing like it. There's nothing that can do that for us like God's word. That because it's the Lord's word, and the Lord's word is a sharp sword, and the Lord's word is truth and life, and it's that word that helps us see. It sheds light into your heart and my heart to expose the reality of the condition of the heart. And that's a good thing. It's easy for us to deceive ourselves. It's easy for us not to pay attention to the fallen dimensions of the human heart that still drags us down, clouds the mind, causes us to, in pride, to resist God and the things of God. But it's that reality that Paul will say, the day's coming when we will all stand before God, stand before the Lord, and to whom we'll have to give an account, and who sees the human heart perfectly. He knows exactly our true motives. And he's looking for true love. I mean, he's looking for the love that he expressed on the cross in that heart, in his heart. Did we open ourselves to that gift? I talked about this yesterday a little bit in terms of what Jesus expressed on the cross, but what's going to happen when we die and we come before the judgment seat of God is the King, the Lord, the bridegroom, the Lord himself, as the book of Revelation describes, is going to examine your heart. When I stand before him, his gaze will be, and he'll reveal to me maybe things I never even fully saw about myself and the level of resistance that was in my heart. And, you know, to really simply, giving myself entirely to him and love for the Father. And so what he wants to do now and what he does with his word is he begins that process, because God's word actually judges us. That's what's happening with the seven woes that Jesus is talking about to the Pharisees. He is going after them. He's talking to them about their hypocrisy. He's warning them. He's challenging them. And God's judgments are good. This is one of the things we need to see. We need to welcome God's word and let God's word examine us. That's the standard by which we are ultimately going to be examined. But we don't want to show up for that exam, friends, not having taken seriously God's word or allowed that word to examine us here in this life, because it'll be too late. This is why it's so crucial that the whole counsel of God is taught and preached in exactly the way Jesus and the apostles taught and preached it. And I mean the whole counsel of God's word, the stuff that really consoles and comforts and the other stuff that disrupts us. So Pope Benedict said in his encyclical Verbum Domini, he said, what we need now, part he said, we need to hear a gospel that disrupts, that unsettles us, that doesn't allow us to sink into the comfortable grooves of life and self-satisfaction, that is living really by the gaze of the world, and we're concerned about that gaze more than we're concerned about the gaze of the Lord himself. We're presumptuous. We take a, you know, we can be presumptuous before God and just assume we're in a good place and everything's fine. And I mainly live with, instead of fear of the Lord, I live with a fear of men. I live with a kind of gaze toward the world. What does the world think about me? What do the powerful think about me? What does my boss think about me? What do hip and cool people think about me? And we fear that gaze of being out of step with what we perceive to be the perception of the world's expectation. And we're living under an examination, friends. We're living under a gaze, really. And we're concerned about the judgment of the world upon us. And we do very subtly or even very dramatically do whatever it takes. This is the temptation, to do whatever it takes to be in step with the world. It's what the scripture talks about as friendship with the world. This is why it's so dangerous and why the scripture is very clear. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Friendship with the world makes us enemies of God. Why? Because we're living under the lordship or the rule or the anxiety and concern of the world first. And that makes it impossible for us to give to God what belongs to God, which is the very core of why we exist. And that's a resistance that Jesus is very clear about, and Paul and the apostles, Peter, this is rebellion. This is suppressing the truth about God, like Romans 1 talks about. This is the refusal to give to God what actually belongs to him. And friends, it's actually a form of idolatry, and we don't even realize it. And so that's the nature of the battle that we're in, and why God's word is the light that shines right into the heart, that examines us and helps us know where we're at before the eyes of God. Because what else could matter? What else is more important than that? So we're getting a little bit of that in the readings this week. And yesterday's reading, I just want to touch on a little bit. Maybe have a few minutes to jump into today's first reading from Paul on Thessalonians. He said yesterday's reading, as we give thanks to God always for you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith, labor of love, endurance, and hope. Here's Paul. Why is Paul rejoicing? Because he sees the fundamentals being expressed in the life of the community. What are the fundamentals? Faith, hope, and love. The theological virtues. The foundation, the greatest of these is love. We know that because that's what the Lord has taught us. Your work of faith, that is your walking out your faith. It's not just a thought in your head. You literally now are, as Father Francis Martin used to say, expressing a faith, which is an expression of your whole person, to lean on God in such a way, with trust, with belief, with conviction, lean on God in such a way, if he wasn't there, you'd fall flat on your face. I mean, it's a faith, it's spelled R-I-S-K. It's a real all-in abandonment in trust to God. And he sees that happening, probably in little steps. The community there is Thessaloniki, probably not perfect, right? They're obviously not, because you can tell by the rest of his teaching. He's helping them. But faith, hope, and love is the foundation. Hope is that endurance, right? What we need, friends, is that endurance right now, that endurance toward our ultimate goal, which is the hope that's set before us, is a person, Jesus Christ in glory. There's my life. Where's my life going? Look at him. That's my life. That's my destiny. That's the gift that's set before me. Do I want it or not? Am I living in a way that that's actually my real live hope? Have I set my heart on it? And then, of course, loving God and loving neighbor. And he goes on to say, he said, for our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. This is a normal process in the unfolding of the Christian life and what communities of Christians are meant to look like and how we grow and how life begins in us. Our gospel, the good news about Jesus. Pope Francis just recently did a wonderful talk on Paul's teaching on Galatians on the kerygma about this, that it's unequivocal. It's Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He died, rose again, the kerygma. We believe he's resurrected. He's at the right hand of God. He's the only means of salvation. That good news about God that leads to repentance and receiving God's mercy and leads us into a radical lifestyle of following Jesus and being conformed to him. For our gospel did not come in word alone. This is why the New Testament, the preaching of the gospel, is different than anything else. Paul said, it came to you in power, in dunamis, in dynamite, in life-changing power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Paul now is, not only did it happen to him, he's seeing it happen in the community that he's leading. That's how the kingdom of God goes forward. Not just an exchange of information, but it goes forth in power and in the Holy Spirit, which produces much conviction. Where are you at, friends? Where's your heart? How much conviction do you have about following Jesus, about his claims, about his call on your life? And when that conviction weakens, or if it's never even been strong, that means you're somehow not yet plugged into the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. So just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Repent in any way you need to repent it. Ask the Lord to come and give you the strength that you need to be able to walk in it. Paul sees again the growth that's happening. He says, for they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you. He's hearing about how their lives are changing and how have they changed. He said, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. That's a description of conversion. It's extraordinary. Paul's rejoicing because what is he saying? That you turn to God from idols. Friends, the culture today is just filled with idolatry. People building their own worlds, their own kingdoms, their own identities, their own this, that, and the other thing. This is idolatry. We need to turn from it. We need to repent. There's baptized people who are living, as I said at the beginning of this program, with their eye on the world and looking for the approval of the world. That's idolatry. That's putting something above God that's going to impact and direct your life and God's claim on you. And he said, in that turning, what did you do? You turned away from serving others and serving yourself first to serve the living and true God. That's what you did. And he said, now you're awaiting the return of the Lord from heaven. You're living a life that's consistent and you're going to be the bride of Christ that's ready to receive him and say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, we're ready. We're living, we believe you, and it's real, and we're living what we believe. And you know he's the one raised from the dead, Paul says, and he's the one that delivers us from the wrath to come. Because this is the other thing. Remember, he's a judge. And friends, those who die apart from seriously obeying the light that God has given to him in this life and obeying the gospel when you hear it, it's going to be wrath. It's going to be the judgment of God. We experience it as wrath, which is eternal separation from God. So we need, of all people, to be clear-headed and clear-hearted about what life is the only one in this time that makes sense. Let's walk in it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.